Welcome to a podcast for the Queensland Integrity in Health series. My name is Tracy Pickett, and I am a medico-legal advisor with Avant and a director of the Queensland Doctors Health Program. Each year, the Office of the Integrity Commissioner, together with its supporting partners, Health Ethics and Law Queensland, known as HEAL, among others, arranges an Integrity in Health series. This year's topic is mandatory reporting for health professionals. What are the ethical and legal ramifications? As a result of the global pandemic, which is presently underway, we are convening this series as a podcast. And today I'm delighted to be sharing our integrity and health journey with our partners, the Office of the Health Ombudsman, Doctors Health in Queensland, Avant, and HEAL, which is the Queensland chapter of the Australasian Association of Bioethics and Health Law. Joining me as co-hosts in this series are Dr. Nicola Stepanov, the Queensland Integrity Commissioner, Dr. Margaret Kay, the Medical Director working with Doctors Health in Queensland, and Dr. Melissa Naidu, Group Chief Medical Officer and Head of Clinical Innovation for NIB. To start our discussion today, I have the pleasure of speaking to Dr. Melissa Naidu, one of our co-hosts for this podcast series. Welcome, Melissa. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Tracy. Thank you for having me.
Melissa, before we start, I'd like to tell our listeners a little bit about you. Melissa is a truly authentic leader who has over 15 years' experience in senior medical and executive roles across both the public and private sectors. As Group Chief Medical Officer and Head of Clinical Innovation for NIB Health Funds, she is passionate about supporting person-centred care and advancing health outcomes through medical leadership and systems improvement. Melissa is an experienced board director serving on the Doctors Health in Queensland, Royal Australasian College of Medical Administrators, and MDA national boards. She holds dual fellowships in medical administration and health service management and associate professorships with the University of Queensland and Bond University Medical Schools. A firm believer in the benefits of inclusion and diversity in leadership and decision making, she is actively involved in training and mentoring the next generation of medical leaders and is a long-standing advocate for doctor health and well-being and flexible work and training. Melissa, I'd like to ask you to speak about an important component of the issues associated with mandatory reporting, and that is the role of medical leadership and culture in doctors' health. In particular, when you consider the issue of mandatory reporting, and that is health professionals reporting other health professionals, as an administrator, do you think that there are ripple effects of the mandatory report on the subject person's wider teams?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's important to remember that ill health and especially mental health, due to the particular stigma and barriers to care that those with mental illness have, does have a far-reaching impact on people and really on not just the person who's sick, but everyone who is connected to that unwell person. So this is no different for doctors who, like everybody else, do experience physical and mental health issues. I think mandatory reporting, or the legal obligation to report impaired doctors where there is a substantial risk of harm to the public, adds further complexity to any ripple effects that we see from illness. For the treating practitioner, it can be things like a negative impact on the trust and the therapeutic relationship with the doctor-patient, and that can impair their ability to deliver an appropriate level of care to the doctor who is a patient. But also, we see that doctors are really reluctant to raise concerns about colleagues. And this is, you know, for multiple reasons, I think, for fear of getting it wrong or potentially causing more harm or risk to someone who's already at risk. They may reflect on what it might feel like for themselves. So it can be a great source of stress and anxiety on the team and peers, particularly if they're seeing behaviour in their colleague that concerns them or that they think puts others at risk of harm. So deciding how to address those concerns about their colleagues is something that doctors are not always really experienced at or familiar with or you know, feel particularly skilled about either. So I think there are much broader implications here, and I think it lends to the culture in the medical community as well. I think the main thing really is that it's important if doctors are concerned about colleagues that they put a focus on safety, and that's, you know, the safety of your colleagues, but also the team in which that colleague works and the public, and to really reach out and get help from someone who may be more experienced in dealing with these. So, you know, in a hospital setting, it might be someone like myself, a medical administrator or a director of medical services. In a shared practice, it might be, you know, another member of the practice. And it's important that, you know, we collaboratively discuss these issues so that we can actually work out the best pathway forward. So, sorry, Tracy.
Yes.
That's okay. Yeah, so I think, Tracy, you know, it's really important that we, you know, we consider when there are colleagues that we're concerned about in our workplace or, you know, in our personal lives as well, that we reach out to them and that we help them navigate a pathway to getting help. And that should be what we're focusing on rather than the concerns around mandatory reporting.
Absolutely. And given that that's the case and that's your views of the situation, do you think that the introduction of the treating doctor exceptions relating to the obligation to report have been beneficial?
Look, I think that it's important for me in saying that, you know, we should be focusing on the health of our colleagues and not the mandatory reporting. It would be naive of me to say that mandatory reporting does not impact or influence people's decisions around this. The treating doctor exceptions which have come in really do aim to support health practitioners to seek help about their health without fearing a mandatory notification. But I know that many advocacy groups and doctors consider these changes, you know, as not having gone far enough. And that's often in reference to the Western Australian legislation, where there is an explicit exemption from mandatory reporting for treating doctors. And the concern here really is that doctors will remain fearful of accessing care when needed. And some of that is around an understanding of the treating doctor exceptions and the threshold really for reporting around that. The often cited Beyond Blue study in 2013 showed that doctors do report much higher rates of psychological distress and suicidal thinking than the general population and other population groups. And approximately 2% of those doctors reported that they had attempted suicide. But despite those figures, 34% of doctors still saw concerns about their medical registration as a barrier to seeking treatment. And it's important for us to recognise that. There has been no comprehensive follow-up study to date, so it's really difficult to determine whether the introduction of these exceptions has changed that really. So we don't know whether that view is still widely held, but I think various polls, anecdotal evidence, and, you know, the fact that we're still losing colleagues suggests that many doctors are still quietly suffering. So, Tracy, I think that it is an area where I think these exceptions have gone some way, ensuring that people understand them and that they're reassured in a way that allows them to access help and to be well and to be able to continue to function effectively as doctors is the key.
Mm. And Melissa, do you think that there's still some confusion in the minds of medical professionals about what is and what is not a matter which requires a mandatory report?
I would say yes, there is. I think the concern really of sort of mandatory reporting is the consequence that doctors may not seek help or treatment for their own health concerns, particularly if they're mental health concerns, out of fear of the consequences. And ironically, you know, the legislation which is there to protect the public might actually put the public more at risk by untreated, unwell doctors. I do think there is still a bit of confusion in the medical community, perhaps not so much amongst those of us who are familiar with treating medical colleagues, but perhaps amongst those who either treat their colleagues irregularly or the doctors themselves who may be unwell and are concerned about seeking help. So the important thing is really that a mandatory notification is only needed if there is a substantial risk of harm to the public or sexual misconduct. And the threshold for this is really high. So like with any other patient, the doctor-patient's health is the priority. And it's important to remember that threshold is high. And, you know, a doctor who is managing a physical or mental health issue by seeking help, taking time off, following a treatment plan, is highly unlikely to pose a substantial risk of harm. So in most cases, balancing those, you know, the doctor's health needs with the public safety doesn't actually necessitate a mandatory notification. I think that it is important that we encourage doctors, and if you're a treating doctor, that, you know, if you're unsure about whether it meets the threshold, then there are ways that you can get and seek advice about that. And it is important to do so and be comfortable with that decision. So you could consult with a, you know, another colleague, a more senior colleague or a more experienced colleague, and they might be able to provide support and reassurance as a treating practitioner as well. But there are also other avenues like contacting your indemnity insurers or the professional associations, the colleges, who can be quite helpful in giving advice, particularly for those who are not used to treating doctors or not familiar with the legislation. But it is, having said that, Tracy, really important for doctors to understand their obligations and know that there are different obligations on different roles. So as, you know, a treating doctor, as a colleague, as a employer. But most doctors aren't lawyers, and so, you know, we do understand that this can be a daunting and difficult area to understand and to know what you should do in different situations. So it is important to reach out to those with the experience and knowledge if you need to.
Absolutely. It's such a complex area, and the issues are equally complicated. So given that's the case, Melissa, do you think that medical leaders have a role in responding to some of these issues?
I absolutely do. I think as doctors, regardless of whether you're in a formal or an informal leadership role, really as doctors, I think, you know, we all have roles as leaders, but we each have a responsibility to demonstrate medical leadership on this issue. I think as a profession, we have a responsibility to call out the stigma and discrimination which is associated with mental illness, and encourage all patients, which is including doctor patients, to access optimal mental health care. I think some of the challenges of the medical workplace are often the root cause of chronic stress and can contribute to the stresses on mental health and contribute to illness. For example, we know that patient complaints about doctors are a common cause of doctor distress. Dealing with those sensitively and fairly and supporting colleagues through this process, which can sometimes be quite long and drawn out, does become important. I think there's an onus on all of us to do that. I think recognising that negative medical culture and the issues of bullying and harassment, which we've seen played out, you know, in the public as well, with attention drawn to that, do still persist in medicine. And that can predispose doctors to mental health problems. There's fears about disclosure of those mental health problems and acceptance within the profession. So particularly doctors or people in formal leadership positions do have a duty to create a safe workplace, but I think it's on all of us to advocate for a kinder and fairer medical workplace and to look out for our colleagues. I think there has also been, you know, a myriad of initiatives to improve the health of doctors, and I'm really grateful, I guess, to those who have advocated on the behalf of doctors in that regard, and ensured that there are mechanisms in place around that. But we shouldn't forget that there are systems issues that need to be addressed. But we can also help our doctors as well deal with situations and know what the pathways are for them to get help. It's also important that if we are putting in initiatives in place, that you know, resources need to be allocated to fully evaluate those and to roll them out effectively as well, and to know that they're actually supporting. So I think there is a role for medical leadership there in advocating for things that improve the system, that address medical culture and you know, significant workplace systemic issues, as well as to promote, to role model and to demonstrate self-care and the ability to make courageous decisions about seeking help as well. I think expressing our vulnerability sometimes as leaders can be really important in that. And I think, you know, at a time like now when we're dealing with additional stresses in the workplace that are arising from things like COVID, it becomes even more important that we recognise how important it is for us as doctors to look after ourselves, but also to, you know, when unwell, take that time out to make sure that we're looking after ourselves. I think, you know, that becomes a little bit easier when we're dealing with like with something like an infectious disease and there's not as much stigma attached to it. And it's a really interesting thing at the moment to see that play out in hospitals and in frontline where, you know, presenteeism has been such a big thing and such a big part of medical culture, hospital culture, that, you know, for it to now be okay that if you're unwell, you shouldn't be turning up to work, or you should be taking, you got forced sort of time off because of the risk that you may have been exposed. I think the other thing to recognise is that some of the fears we have as doctors do drive our behaviour. So not wanting to overstep the boundaries or invade the privacy of our colleagues. And I really feel we need to, as a profession, do a better job of reaching out to our peers when things don't seem right and encouraging them and helping them find the pathways to help. We need to be much more less afraid of having these conversations and look out actively for one another. This is a time when we see something wrong with a colleague or we feel that we have concerns for them, it's a time to really step towards them, not away from them. And that requires, you know, leadership and courage from all of us. Only us as doctors can create this change by uniting and, you know, eliminating myths, misinformation, stigma and particularly discrimination, recognising our own unconscious bias around mental illness and particularly around mental illness in doctors and our colleagues. So we can all take responsibility and leadership for this, Tracy, and if we're to help our colleagues and doctors and not let them or, interject with them suffering in silence, medical leadership is very important.
So many important messages there, Melissa. I think we could explore these issues all day, but time's getting away, unfortunately. So I'd just like to take the opportunity to thank you for your time and providing your insights to us. It's been invaluable. And thank you all for listening to the Integrity in Health series with Dr. Melissa Naidoo and myself, Tracy Pickett.